Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group and proud host of VFE. And today's guest is near and dear to my heart, one of my good friends. I call her the bestie. She is definitely a sister in the education field, a strong proponent for community, right? And you're going to see that's going to be a part of our conversation today. She is in the great state of California, Inglewood up to no good, as Dr. Trey and Snoop Dogg would say. But Ms. Jessica Ochoa is the Executive Director of Communications and Community Relations for the Inglewood Unified School District in Inglewood, California. And just most recently, my sister, my good friend, my bestie, just got on the CALSA Board of Directors. Congratulations with that. She is just a staunch advocate for equity for our families and for our kids. So without further ado, it is an honor to have Ms. Jessica Ochoa on Voices for Excellence. Bestie, you made it.
Hey, good morning, bestie. Good morning. I'm humbled. I'm excited to be here with you today, being part of your podcast, Voices for Excellence. And so truly appreciate this opportunity to really be able to speak on a topic that is very dear to my heart. So I'm excited. I need to dive in. And so it's a pleasure.
Now, one thing, right? Good minds think alike. We are open. 3,100 miles apart, and we got the same color on, almost down to the shirt.
There we absolutely.
No communication at all to
no
my
communication. List. No communication. Great minds think alike, right? Absolutely.
There we absolutely. Go. So good to have you on VFE. So let's get into the podcast, Ray, and I really want to focus on the merit of work that you have completed in the Los Angeles area, what you have done for Inglewood Unified School District, specifically in alignment to your strategy around community and integrating, I like to say, moving from this whole child to whole school to this whole community approach in the AC stage of education. So I think that this is very, very important because it's going to be an educational imperative when we look at strengthening the education outcomes for kids. Community has to be an integrated thread within that strategy. So great to have you and for you just to expand on your expertise. But the first question, right? The work you've done has just been extensive in the Los Angeles area, specifically your community outreach strategy, which I think is a model across the country, but specifically your community outreach strategy in Inglewood. You are an award-winning educator in the state of California as the Executive Director of Communications and Community Relations for the Inglewood Unified School District. But you, Ms. Jessica Ochoa, what song defines your excellence and equity stance in education, right? And I want to hear this because I got my pen ready to write this down, because what song would education stakeholders, right, and leaders describe Ms. Jessica Ochoa as a leader in the ecosystem?
It's funny that you asked. I love music. And really kind of thinking about what song defined me, my mind was spinning, right? I listened to all genres. And when I say all genres in the books. And so as I was kind of just surfing, I guess, the various songs that I enjoy listening to, there's one song that kind of came to mind, and I needed to just listen to it again. And I said, this is where it hits home. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a gospel song that you actually listen to when, you know, you're at church or whatnot, right? You're in your safe haven, and it's called Sanctuary. And it's a beautiful song. It's phenomenal. It brings peace. It just brings peace to the mind. And it really reassures you your purpose of why you're doing what you do. And there's part of the a section in the song, the lyrics, it says, "Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary." And for me, that really hits home because I feel that your sanctuary is where your heart is. And for me, it's serving my purpose with true heart and humility. And that's how I serve on a day-to-day basis. You serve with heart. You have to love what you do, but there's this level of humility that needs to live within you to be able to stay grounded to your purpose and why you do what you do. And so that song really resonated in me for the work that I do. Now, as far as my fellow colleagues, would they agree? Oh, possibly, right? I consider myself someone who is, I kind of stay under the radar, pretty quiet. But at the same time, I allow my work to be my voice or be my sound. And for me, ultimately, at the end of the day, I just want to make sure that we impact our youth, that we change the trajectory for our youth, and that we empower our youth to be able to see their true potential, to see the value that they bring forward in order for them to really ignite their hidden potential to impact, you know, the greater world. And so for me, it's understanding my sanctuary, serving with true heart and true purpose. And that's just a constant reminder that keeps me grounded, allows me to continue to be boots on the ground, to really understand and truly impact the community in which we serve. And by doing that is having those relationships, having those connections. And with that, you have to be present. And so that's a song that really resonated in me. Highly recommend it. It's heartwarming, and I love it, to be honest with you. So I told you I was going to give you a little twist.
You gave a look.
You know, now the $1 million question is, what song would you have thought, you know, that really, you know, resonates, you know, in you as far as, like, hey, this song totally reminds me of Jessica. Is there one for you?
Well, I didn't even think about, you know what? Let me come back to you.
I've never thought about it. You know, I'm just like, wait, a song that resonates, you know, I mean, that kind of speaks to the work. I was like, wow, that's pretty deep. I never thought about it that way. Right.
Right.
The first thing that came to mind was Graduation. Right. I love graduations. That's one of my favorite culminating ceremonies when it comes to public education, because it's where our students, you know, I mean, that's where their chapter ends, and they're starting a new chapter in their life, and it's a culmination of almost 13 years, right, in public education. And so I needed to think about it a little bit more, and I was just like, you know what? What song really, really, and I thought about a few songs, right? You know, some hip hop army, going to the Landmarks. But at the same time, I said, you know what? Sanctuary has always been a song that I've always enjoyed listening to while being in church. And I listen to it when, you know, I have to recollect myself, my thoughts. Sometimes we have those gloomy days that we have to remind ourselves why we do what we do. So. You threw me a curveball.
I got, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to think about this, and I will definitely, I'm going to give, I got to think about that, because Jessica, you got me tongue twisted now, because I got to be like, okay, what is it? I was thinking maybe what kind of, because the work, right? And I'm looking at the individuals and the impact they've had within the music industry. And when I think about your work in alignment to community, for community outreach, for community impact, with regards to ensuring access and opportunity, when we look at, let's say, this isolated thread of homelessness, right? I think of artists of like the Tina Turners of the world, the Whitney Houston of the world, because they had impact in that. So I got to go down, you know, the Whitney Houston, Tina Turner list to see what that song is, because, you know, I see the influence that they've had and the influence that you have in the Los Angeles area, specifically in Englewood, and how, and I want to bring it up, you're leveraging the Olympics to bring or revitalize, right, Englewood. And right now we're going to unpack that, obviously, but congratulations, right, on you being elected as a board member of TALSA, Region 5 director. Yay, there we go, all the way around, right? The congratulations, right? So, but now going back, right, your entry plan, when you were, when you became executive director for communications as well as community relations, you had an entry plan, right? Your 90-day entry plan is infamous in whatever position.
The business plan, the business model.
But now as a new board member, right, what does that entry plan look like when you be formally matriculate into the role in July? And what are your plans to strengthen the mission and organizational objectives of TALSA?
No, absolutely, absolutely. Now, first and foremost, we must recognize leaders who have been and will be instrumental partners in leading TALSA Familia, and with those who have come before us and will come after us, right? And so really understanding the legacy that has been built thus far, and what can we do to continue to carry that legacy forward to really be able to create an even stronger playing field for future leaders within TALSA. It's really, really instrumental to understand collectively as a board what everyone's visions are. They can be very different. They can be very similar, but ultimately, collectively, how do we move the works forward? And for me, it's my focus is Region 5, right? Part of my work as a new board of directors to lead our local Angelenos, which I am super excited about, whether it's building capacity in membership within TALSA, building capacity within our leaders, whether providing professional development, an area that I've really been spinning some ideas is we have a lot of renowned authors within the TALSA community. How do we share the work that they're doing within their spaces, within their roles, where they've been able to publish the work and help support, leverage that professional development for others? But at the same time, how do you inspire leaders to be able to share their craft, their knowledge, their experience, and be able to bind it in a book to be able to share it with the greater community, whether it be in LA, you know, expanding out to California, nationwide, worldwide. And so I'm really looking at different ways to really be able to expand the capacity within TALSA, the visibility within TALSA, tapping into our local media outlets. There's a lot of great work that is being done within the TALSA Familia, but also our members at their school districts, right? How do we amplify their voices to be able to truly showcase the work that is being done, that ultimately at the end of the day, it inspires others. And so there's a lot of great work that will be done, that has been done. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's going to be a collective effort. It's a coalition of minds to really be able to move the mission and the vision of TALSA forward. And so I'm super excited to be diving in starting July 1st and really being able to drive that strategic plan, not only for the state of California with the TALSA community, but also for the LA County region. So,
yeah, congratulations on that. I'm super, super proud of you for that. And then just you highlighting how honoring the legacy is so foundational. And, you know, every single member, whether it be the current president right now, Xandra Del Galvin, the president-elect, Dr. Roxanne Fuentes, You hear that theme even across the board of directors with regards to honoring the past and honoring the legacy. The last, I believe it was the last conference that I attended with CALSA, the whole theme was around honoring the legacy. And there were, Jessica, educational giants. I mean, educational giants that was at the last Institute with CALSA. And congratulations on that. I hear a lot of focus on capacity. I hear a lot of focus on now, this is a new voice thread, and I want you to expand on this, is agency, right? And that is so important because your work in alignment with that, the voice, right? The collective voice of the people and around capabilities and capacity expansion, foundational for the expansion and the growth of CALSA. And good luck to you with that. Very, very proud of you. But I want to expand on a thread, right? A variant within your last answer. And it's around voice. It's around ensuring that voice is a part of that, as you stated. You elicited so well that the agency, the collective agency, is so important to lift CALSA as an organization. But I want to bring it back now to your expertise, right? And this is me, you know, subjectively and objectively saying is that you are one of the national experts when it comes to community, right? And I consider you a czar around this whole community approach and education now more than ever, where we saw the inequities at a multitude of different levels in the DC stage of education during COVID. Now, as we move seamlessly, not seamlessly, but we move into this AC stage of education, and we know that in order for Generation Alpha and Generation Z to be successful, whether it be in the education sector or even in the economic demand community, is going to play a critical aspect in that. You have successfully engaged various community and national entities to strengthen the equity work in the Inglewood Unified School District. Now, as I said at the outset, moving from this whole child, whole school, whole community approach in the AC stage of education, right, to meet the generational needs of Generation Z and Generation Alpha. Now, Jessica, tapping into your expertise at a multitude of tiered levels when it comes to community, right? If I am a leader within any thread of the education ecosystem, even at the school base or classroom level, how do I create a whole community approach in alignment to achieve the desired outcomes for families and students that we serve?
Absolutely. And so first and foremost, relationships are important. Relationships are key to success in our reality, and being present, being boots on the ground, to be able to understand how to approach the whole child, the whole student, or the whole school, the whole community. It's really important that you immerse yourself to the community in which you are serving. And by doing so, it really allows you to understand if there is any, what's the word I'm looking for? Disparities that exist in the system within itself, right? Within the ecosystem of the school community. What resources are lacking for students to ensure that they're successful, but also their families and the communities in which they serve? Is there any red tape that is stopping the ability for growth? For those communities, for those schools, for that ecosystem, for those students. And I'm a firm believer that sometimes we get so convoluted in our own space of how do we get there? How do we do it? But rather, who can I bring to the table to have a collective conversation of sharing of ideas to be able to meet the needs of the community? By those natural conversations, you learn and you learn how to be able to process those needs, right? To get those resources to the students. So it's really those sharing of visions to empower communities. And so for me, it's really understanding who
are the stakeholders? Who are the partners that are present in the communities or communities at large? Being able to understand the needs, bringing those partners to the table, having those conversations. It's an alignment of visions and purpose to the organization to be able to meet those needs of our students. And so, you know, I'll bring an example to the table. Some of our facilities, you know, they can use some love is what I say. We have renowned athletes who've come out of our school district. We have phenomenal athletes who are currently in our school district. But how do we empower our students to be able to unleash their hidden potentials in these state-of-the-art facilities or firsthand experiences in the athletic world? And so, you know, we're in the process of this really big project coming to Englewood, but we can't do it alone. It's a collective effort with our partners where really bringing the resources to the hub of our community to be able to enrich our families. And so it really goes back to those relationships. It's who can you bring to the table to have those conversations? But it's really understanding who you're serving and serving with true heart.
Kind of left me speechless, right? And Jessica, you don't leave me speechless a lot of the times, but your answer, right? Because I like to use this, and I say this pretty much every episode, is I like to use this as a professional learning tool around direct instruction, where, you know, asynchronously they're taking, the adult learner is taking time and learning apart, so that now time could be this variable to impact learning and practice. And what you said was foundational, right? Around relationships. A mentor of mine, Dr. Bill Daggett, always used to say rigor, relevance, relationships, but he switched it now to relationships, relevance, and rigor, right? And essentially, you targeted, unwrapped, and unpacked equity at its best. If you think about what you're talking about, the alignment of resources, a shared ideas, conversation, empowerment, those are all giving voice back to the community, which is a foundational and fundamental pillar to be able to lever excellence and equity in our communities. Now, I'm going to brag about you because this is your this is your brother's.
I don't like the spotlight.
Right. Yeah, you already know, sis. You already know where I'm coming. And this is your brother who is just super proud of you. And I'm throwing this in there because I want to be able to have concrete examples of how you levered partners to be able to expand, right? To expand the access and opportunity for students and families in Englewood, but moreover, the culture responsive alignment to your partners so that the students that you're serving, right, the demographics that you're serving are really elevating in this accelerated manner. So if you can just provide some examples of what the partnerships look like and how you leverage that, including the Olympics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so earlier this year, we had the opportunity to unveil our first esports center at one of our high schools, which is phenomenal. If you're familiar with esports, it's a pathway that is taking off. And there's so much to learn from esports, from computer engineering to technology to gaming, graphic design. And so the ability to be able to bring that type of facility in the classroom to expose our students to different pathways that they may have not realized are existing, but their talent lives within. I'm a firm believer that talent is universal, access is not. And with that, thanks to some of our partners, the College Football Playoffs Foundation, School Specialty, and other partners who really made this project come to fruition, we were able to introduce a renovated, brand new space, eSports center, state of the art for our students that is now being integrated into our pathways in Inglewood, and really being able to open those doors and opportunities for our students where it's a safe space for them. They're students that really truly enjoy gaming, and there's some hidden potential of there's hidden potential within them where they're artists. They enjoy the mechanics of computers, but being able to integrate that to what drives them really motivates them and ignites them to be able to say, I know where I want to be. I know where I'm going. This is what I enjoy doing, and this is what I love. Now, how do I get to that next space? And so that's where additional partners come in. And I'm currently working with Intuit and a donor who's partnered with them, a former professional athlete, where they're going to be providing students with scholarships. And with that, it's getting them to that next chapter in their lives. And so we've been very fortunate to be able to afford students access where they're able to receive scholarships for different spaces. But it's preparing them for that next future. Hollywood Park hosts, I don't want to say annually, but a few times out of the year, they'll host panel conversations at their sites where students are able to shadow just various staff members within the field in different concentrations within careers, whether it's entertainment, hospitality, but it's that exposure piece and the ability to be able to lean on and be able to see firsthand the work that is being done behind the scenes really gives students the exposure. And so those have been very beneficial to our students. Another piece that we've been able to do here in Inglewood is support our students and really expose our students to our HBCU colleges and universities, bringing representatives across the nation to Inglewood. And a lot of our students were afforded full ride scholarships to HBCU colleges and universities. And we're not talking about one, two, three students. There's a plethora of students that were on the spot granted full ride scholarships to our students. And that has been huge for our community, right? It's opening those opportunities and those experiences to say the world, there is possibilities outside of, you know, your normal scope of space and what is their norm. And at the end of the day, it's been a collective effort. We have the Olympics coming in 2028. We're working on a state-of-the-art sports complex, one of a kind in our community. But we can't do it alone. We're doing it with partners who believe in the vision of affording access to our students around athletic spaces that will not only be open for our students, our student athletes, but also our greater communities. And our community leagues to be able to unleash that hidden potential at a young age for our students, expose our students to the value of sport, to be able to unleash that potential with them, which will then lead it to becoming these athletes that live within them. So,
absolutely amazing. And I remember, and this is to my audience, right, meeting Jessica, or hearing about Jessica's work when I was out in California. And this was, it's a session, multiple people, multiplicity. And I'm using that word intentionally, said the same phrase. If you want to know, if you really want to see someone that has an outreach strategy of aligning resources to give back to kids, that's all I heard. They're like, you have to see Jessica Ochoa. So when I met Jess, I was like, okay, I know, I heard you're the guru of community. I heard that you can be able to make sure kids, you were the true Tupac, making a dollar out of 15 cent, right?
It goes back to relationships. To be honest, it's just conversations. And when I'm out, boots on the ground in the community, for community events, whether it's district, the city, or events that you're invited to in the greater Los Angeles, it's networking. And it's getting to understand other leaders in LA and the work that they do. And it's aligning the visions. And it's sharing, like, hey, there's a need. Is this something that your organization can support us with? Let's jump on a call. Let's have these conversations. And if it aligns, let's move on it, right? Let's give our students, let's afford our students this opportunity and access. And so it really goes back to having those heart-to-heart conversations of making sure that, you know, if there's an opportunity that is present, let's make sure that our students are engaging in that experience. And so I've been very blessed to be surrounded by phenomenal partners in our community who want to give back to our students. But it's not about transactional, right? It's about being transformative and being able to scale and sustain the partners that we have to really be able to not only impact our current generation, but our future generation, and truly embedding them into what is, you know, the whole child, the whole school, the whole community. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, partnerships, there should be longevity in the partnerships that you create to truly impact the communities in which you're serving. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it goes back to relationships. It's serving with true heart and purpose. And ultimately, at the end of the day, not forgetting the work that you do and for who you do the work for. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's affording access to our students who are our future generations.
I'm glad that you're bringing in a divergent ideology, right? Because when you hear the words longevity, sustainability, and scaling or scalability, you hear it from an academic and an operational context. But when we hear about strategically aligning partners and partnerships for outcomes of our kids, the strategy, the approach, the relationships, right? There has to be longevity, there has to be sustainability, and there has to be this level of scalability. Thank you for that, Jessica, because now my audience can really look at being intentional about how they would use their academic or systems broad strategy to be able around longevity, sustainability, and scalability with what you have clearly articulated in such a lucid manner around longevity, scalability, and sustainability, and interface it so that we can be able to accelerate equity outcomes. But as I move seamlessly into this next question, because you hit upon the partnership component, and Jessica, thank you. Continue to keep that level of vitality around partnerships. I can tell you, I go around across the country, and the work that you're doing with regards to that is a model. It is a gold standard for us in education. But I want to now get down to this level of specificity, right? Something that is near and dear to both of us. It is and part of this equity conundrum that we face, but I don't think a lot of people talk about it much because of the fact that, you know, I think we need to build capacity. And I'm talking about education ecosystem or entity capacity around homelessness, right? We've seen there's multiple quantitative metrics out there that highlight the propensity of increase the percentage of students that fall into that criteria of homelessness, right? And this is around Generation Alpha and Generation Z. So a renowned professor that you and I always love the reference out of the University of Southern California, Dr. Pedro Noguera. You know, I heard him in a keynote speech, and this is as simple as it can get, but it is 150% true. If basic needs of children are not met, it will be hard for them to learn in school. Now, let's say we use that grounded sentiment that Dr. Noguera stated, and we're seeing this increase of percentage of homelessness in the AC stage of education. With limited resources, because that's what we see and hear in education across the country, how do we truly address this economic and education quandary? Because it's going to have longitudinal impact in the education space.
No, absolutely. And I feel more than ever now, it's crucial that our partnerships at large join forces with the local school districts because there's a need. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, we all have a collective resource and service that we can provide our students. And so how do you do that holistically and intentionally to be able to meet the needs of our students? And so there's a lot of great programs, a lot of great resources that are available to our students, whether you're looking at after-school programs, before and after school. It's a safe space for our students to be able to meet those basic needs for our children, those additional time that is being spent in school. There's a big push around community schools, really being able to leverage those resources and support, not only for our students, but for our families at large, whether it's through food banks, right, professional development, et cetera. The levels of support when it comes to resources is endless. And so there's a lot of great systems that are currently in place and programs that are currently in place. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's truly understanding what is the need. There is the need, and making sure that we have the players that we're bringing to the table to ensure that we're giving our families and our students the basic needs to be successful, right? Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a child must, you know, I mean, it's a psychological piece. Are their needs being met? Do they have a roof over their head? Are they eating? Do they feel safe? And so there's these levels for our students to be able to get to the self-actualization of being able to be successful and be able to see themselves to that next level of impact that they're making, not only for themselves and their own investment, but for the future investment and their future generations to come. And so part of making sure that we're meeting the needs of our students is every adult plays a role in ensuring that the students' needs are being met, but also the families, because we can't forget about the families. If we're not building capacity within our families, how are we building capacity within our children? And so, as I shared, more than ever, it's very instrumental. It's very crucial that we join forces with all of our partners, our constituents, to ensure that we're creating those spaces and those resources and an effective ecosystem, system of support for our students on a day-to-day basis.
And this is great, because if you think about it, right? And I hope you copyright this sentence, because it is really dense. And what I mean by dense is dense in a positive context, that it should be carried out in every conversation. Every adult plays a role. That is huge, right? Every adult plays a role in this. And that kind of goes back to that whole aspect of community and relationships. But one thing I want to highlight, Jessica, and it is so true, and you stated it in such an eloquent way, that if we are building capacity in our students, i.e. instruction, right, i.e. learned experiences, creative, innovative designing of engaging learning opportunities for students, we have to, in this parallel context, build capacity in our families. Oh, wow. That is so refreshing and is sobering, because of the fact that now we're intentionally investing in our constituents, right? When we build capacity, that is a context of investment into our people. And Maslow, now you're getting out of the research. You crossing over to my lane now. So.
No, but it's important. And so, you know, we just concluded our school year. And so we've been very fortunate to partner with various partners around financial literacy. And, you know, it's been a huge success for us, not only for our students, but also for our families. And so when we talk about generational wealth, and how do we elevate our families, that's an important factor, right? No one wants to talk about finances, right? It's a sensitive subject. And so ultimately, how do we build those financial traits in our children if those conversations aren't taking place at home? And so leveraging those opportunities for our families to engage in our students, in addition to our students, it really helps kind of build that capacity, you know, for our families in the greater community, and impacting the future generations to come.
Absolutely. You're, and again, like I stated from the outset, this moving from whole child to whole school, the whole community approach, I think you highlighted three critical variables that could be triangulated with regards to a community strategy or an outreach strategy to ensure that families and students are levered. One, empowerment, you talked about. Two, you talked about agency, right? And the third one around relationships. Wow, empowerment, agency, and relationships to deepen and strengthen the partnership work between schools, communities, and our families and students. But last question. The last question. Jessica, and again, I didn't forget you. I'm going to get that song to you, sis. All right.
I'm very curious just to kind of, you know, I'm curious, you know what I mean, as far as what song you would select, as far as what you feel relates to me and the work that I do. So
it might, like I said, it's going to be somewhere that Whitney, Tina,
I can't wait.
But just last question, right? And take it for what it is, because people now, education leaders, right, that have come on here, some of the leaders that I didn't think would stay within the kind of, I like to say, three word box, they did. But others that I thought would be rule followers, they weren't, completely disrupted it. So as I say to everybody, take it as it is. What three words do you want our audience to leave today's podcast regarding community to leverage excellence and equity in the AC stage of education?
Honestly, if I'm going to speak from heart right now, it's you have to love what you do. It's not three words. But you're going to have to love what you do to be able to serve with true purpose. And by doing so, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to be showered with endless blessings every single day. And so for me, it's just you got to love what you're doing and do it with true heart and purpose. You lead with corazón. And by doing so, you know, your rewards are going to be endless. You're going to be just blessed with so many blessings, ultimately at the end of the day, because you're going to create those strong relationships. You're serving with heart. And ultimately at the end of the day, collectively, right, through your own coalition of partners and relationships and your networking, you're transforming and affording access to youth. And that's what's important.
Absolutely. Love what you do. Right, you gave four words, but then you went in a diatribe. But you know what?
I did. You got to serve with heart, right? It goes back to that song, right? It's your sanctuary. My heart is my sanctuary, and it reminds me on a day to day basis to you lead with humility, you lead with heart, and you have to know, you know, what your true purpose is. And to me, it's making sure that we're preparing our students with the proper resources, giving them the experiences and the opportunities for them to be successful. We've lived our lives, right? We've had our opportunities. It's our opportunities. It's our responsibility, I apologize, to feed them hope, right? Be able to fuel their true potential, ignite, you know, their hidden
their hidden potential, ignite their purpose to be able to truly become what they may have not seen before, right? And so it's unleashing that hidden potential in our students, and you do that through those relationships. And relationships are key to the success of any work that you do. So
I appreciate you with that. And, you know, you said endless blessings, right? And, you know, I can, you know, from an observatory standpoint, third party, you know, the Inglewood community, families, parents, students, community, they should be blessed to have you with what you have led, what you have accomplished with regards to bringing in strategic partners to lever equity and excellence, access and opportunity for kids in Inglewood. So thank you for that, because the endless blessings that they are getting, it starts with leadership, and you have some great, great, great leadership out in Inglewood that I just absolutely admire. So I know that community is going to be a major thread, should have already been, but now intentionally, because there's various metrics that support that there needs to be a focused conversation, depth and breadth with scale, with regards to community and all of the specific threads that we talked about. If my audience, if any of my leaders want to be able to just communicate and touch base with you with regards to a coherent and in-depth equity strategy in alignment to community outreach, how would I be able to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. I'm more than happy to connect. They could connect with me via LinkedIn. They can send me an email. More than happy to respond back and definitely jump on a call to be able to dive those conversations. So you can find me on Jessica Ochoa via LinkedIn. I'm currently an executive director of communications, community relations with the Inglewood Unified School District. And so I'm super excited to, you know, dive in and have conversations with anyone who wants to really just have a conversation around communications, partnerships, community, just anything that really entails public education, anything that is aligned with the work of impacting students. I'm completely open to just to having that organic conversation and kind of seeing where it goes, right? It's about aligning those visions. But at the same time, it's about how do we uplift and support each other to the work that we're doing to really build capacity within the leaders.
Absolutely. And Jessica, you made it. You lasted on VFE. Now, to my audience out there, here's a little here's a little tidbit about Jessica, okay, that people might not know, but Jessica, her golf game is a A-lister golf game. I'm telling you.
I wish I was a scratch golfer. Almost there.
That's been 90% of the people out there.
Absolutely. Hey, every day's a win, right? It's like, as we say, we're a day closer to retirement. I'm a day closer to getting scratched. So one day, maybe I'll be part of like the seniors LPGA tour or something.
I cannot wait to golf with you. Please go easy on me. But Jessica, thank you so much for being on VFE. Sister, bestie, it is just a true, true, true honor to have you on VFE. But more importantly, bring this, I like to say, strategy notion around community, where sometimes it could be left out of the conversation in the ecosystem. So thank you so much. I will get back to you with the song. Don't worry about that. Like I said,
absolutely. And it's been a pleasure, Michael. Appreciate the outreach. It's been a blessing to be able to be a part of Voices of Excellence and share just, you know, a bit of the work that I'm doing and continuing to do the work. But I'm not successful, can't do it alone. And there's individuals like yourselves and other remarkable leaders who have really been able to, you know, push me to greater limits. But ultimately, we push each other to greater limits to be able to excel and shine and impact our youth. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jessica. And on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a great evening.